Okay, so we discussed last week, we got into the issue of saw b'saw, that there is some kind of prohibition, although when all the dust settles, we'll see how often it really applies. I'm not sure it really does too often, but saw b'saw is that trading commodities, right? That's what you said would be the problem. You can't trade this for that because the commodities go up and go down, and therefore when you're giving it back, so it's quite possible that it'll be worth more than it is than when you gave it, in which case you'll be getting back more than what you gave, in which case you would be over, you would violate ribus, you'd violate violate interest. That's the issue of saw b'saw. So last week we discussed two possible heterim. Number one is that the Ramah here talks about that if it is a davar muat and people are in makban on one another and they're friends with one another, so that would be heterim number one. So even though it sounds at first glance like we can't go next door and borrow an egg, can't go and borrow a carton of milk, it seems like under most of those scenarios it would be okay because we give it back and everybody knows that things go back and forth. However, as we pointed out, it can't be things that are objectively different. So if you borrow a half of a carton of milk, you can't then give back a full carton of milk. Right? That would then be a violation of ribbis. That would be a problem. So that was heter number one. Heter number two is then in Sif Beis. In Sif Beis it discusses that if the person has some of that min already, he just either doesn't have enough of it, or it's locked up, or it's in his summer home or something, but he owns some of that object. So that's the same. So he could have that apply because he can borrow that, because then in effect we're going to say that the stuff that he has is going to rise and fall with the value of what he owes. I mean, so even though he owes a saw of wheat back, since he already has wheat, so it's his own wheat that's going up and down rather than the borrowed wheat that's going up and down. So that's kula number two. You find that kula goes to some extreme measures, no pun intended, if you borrow a saw, and you borrow a whole saw, so the Shulchan Aruch said that's okay too, because your first you borrow up against the amount that you have for whatever that amount is, and then you do it again and again and again and again and again until you borrow the entire thing. So anyways, that is kula number two if you already own part of it. Now that does open itself up to another way around it. You just have to be using your mind. And then even if you don't have anything, even if you don't own any wheat, so the person can gift you a little bit of wheat, and then the rest of it can be borrowed in a saw for saw fashion, and that would also be, seems like that would be permissible. Fine. Now we get up to number three. So what is heter number three?
In the Shulchan Aruch.
In Shulchan let's do in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara is complicated, but the Gemara there talks about that you can't borrow. I'll quote from you the Gemara. The Gemara is an Ayin Beis Amud Beis. In Bava Metzia, Amar Rav Shishis, Amar Rav Huna, Ein Lovin Al Shar Shavashuk. You're not allowed to borrow money to be repaid based on the established market price. Right, so what does that mean? So Rashi there explains that what's going on here is that you're borrowing money now in exchange for... Let me have this work. A lender gives money to a borrower. Mm-hmm. At the time of the loan, a certain amount of produce is assessed to be that amount. But the assumption is that when you pay it back, you're going to pay back in that produce. Now, that produce is perhaps going to be worth more in 5 months from now than it is worth now.
So it's different things. You borrow money.
I'm hereby giving you a loan. You're going to owe me. I'm going to give you $100. You're going to owe me $100 worth of wheat in Tishrei. I think that's the example of the Gemara.
Okay.
However, so when are you going to give it back to me? You're going to give it back to me in Kislev, right? In Kislev, the price of wheat goes up, right? So you're going to end up giving me back more. So even though it's not saw b'saw, in effect, it's still the same thing. It's mamon for saw, but it's a fluctuating saw. It's a fluctuating amount of value, in which case you're going to be getting money back, more stuff back, the money that you lent.
So you equate the measure at the time of the loan, like $100 is worth a saw, and then... he comes back with a saw in Kislev.
Yeah.
And it's worth more.
Right.
Worth
more. So the Gemara says that that's, you're not allowed to do that. That's not Rav Sheshet Amar Huna, you're not allowed to do that. Then the Gemara says, really, Amar Rav Yossi Bar Chava Abba L'Rav Sheshet, Amar Mila Rav Yossi Bar Abba L'Rav Sheshet, and we have Rav Huna. Did Rav Huna really say you're not allowed to do that? But there was a kasha that's asked of Rav Huna, that these Bnei Yeshiva, the Yazfi B'Tishrei, that they would borrow money in Tishrei, who free us B'Tavis, and pay back with produce in Tavis, according to the prices of Tishrei, in which case they're paying back more. So Shari Yawasha's asked is that Mutter is at us. So Amar Lahu, Hachite Bihini, Bihachite Bishili. He says, well, there's weed in Hini, there's weed in Shili, Ibai Zavna Yuprayale. If the students wanted to, if the Tamil wanted to, they could have gone and buy there in order to pay back their debt to the lender. So that's a kash. What just happened there? Right? So you say, oh, that's okay. That's okay. Why is that? Why is it okay? He says, well, he could have found wheat anywhere. He could have gotten that wheat for that value here or there or then or now, and it's okay, even though they might have gone up in value. So why is that okay? So the Gemara says, Meikara Savar of Huna Ein Lovin, Vakina the Shama Lahad Amar of Shmuel Barchia Amar Rabbi Eliezer Lovin Amar Ihinami Lovin. He says, when he heard that that Rabbi Eliezer said that you could do it, so he said Amar Ihinami Lovin. He said you could lend it as well. Why is that? Why did he say that that's okay? So that's where they formulate the idea that if it has a set price, there's something, as the Shulchan Aruch refers to it as Hay Laoso Min Shar, that object had a set price or a enough of a approximate price. V'yadua l'shnehem mutter luvu sa b'sa. Sorry, in Shulchan Aruch Simon Kuf Samach Beis Siv Gimel. Hay Laoso Min, if that object, if that commodity that they happen to be trading, Shar, it had a set price. B'shuk kavua v'yadua l'shnehem, it was known to both of them, so mutter luvo sabasa. So then, it's permissible to buy sabasa,
to lend
a sa in exchange for a sa that's going to come later on. Why is that? Because if I wanted to, I could have bought the sa now. Right, the saw is not just available in a deal between us. The saw is also available on the open market. So yes, it's true, I might be waiting till Nissan in order to cash in my saw, but it might be worth more, but I could have done it the entire time. So therefore, it's not going to be considered a problem of saw to saw. If it was readily available for everybody at a...
throughout the period...
At a somewhat standard price, right? So then it sounds like and that would be okay. I'm wondering how that works with the gas prices that when they go up for random reasons.
Well, come on,
very random. Very random.
Right. So,
it's a tricky
but when the market is whatever. Anyways, so we do the same. What's the lovo savasa? So it's permissible to lend a savasa under those circumstances. So how much do they need, before we move on to the Ramah, so how much do they in fact need to know? So so the Shulchan Aruch stuck in a word there, v'yadua l'shnehem, that it has to be known to both of them. So what does that mean? So the Shach says, well, k'beis Yosef, the sagi k'sheyedu di yatsa hashar, afa pishal yadu b'kam. He says, if you look in the Beis Yosef itself, the Beis Yosef says, it doesn't mean that they have to know what the price is, that they have to agree exactly, they have to have that today's Wall Street Journal in front of them in order to figure out what the price is. They just have to know that there is a price that would be out there. That if that there is a quasi-standard price that is out there for this commodity that they happen to be trading, even though they haven't yet necessarily agreed on it. No, they don't have to know. They don't need to know. All that needs to happen is that there is a set price, or that the lova has a sa, but that you don't necessarily have to. If you do a sa alone, you don't have to be informed that, oh, and we're going based on which heter we're working off of. Right, if you lend a commodity from one person to another in expectation of a commodity back, you don't have to, in that loan, at least says the claims the shach here. You don't have to, in that loan, say, oh, and we're using Heter 1, 2, or 3. Right, that's not required. However, the Shach continues on and says, however, v'li nira, I skipped the line, I think, v'abach kasa v'hasa marit shemal v'toin shahaya lo yediyah shiyat ha'ashar. The Bach claims that no, they did know. V'li nira dafagav d'l'chavchila ein mahalva ad shiyada shiyat ha'ashar. That l'chavchila, you shouldn't do this trade until there is this price. Mikol makom in lo v'yat ha'ashar, if they did make the loan, and there is a price, afagav d'l'o yada, even though they didn't realize it, mikol makom harei lo nasekan iser b'alva, you haven't done an iser zu, v'chayv l'shan lo, and you'll be chayv to pay, v'chin kasav v'sif katan zayin. I'm not sure what sif katan zayin is referring to. I guess shach sif katan zayin, I would assume. Okay, so anyway, so that's the issue of shar. However, comes the Ramah and adds in, says Vayin lekam and simen kufayin hey ezu mikrei shar kavua. So you got to figure out what a shar kavua is. So that will come later on. V'had yakol lilvos al shar. The fact that you can make this loan based on a shar shevishuk haynu dehalva yakol lifrolo imas shiirtze. It only works if the lova can pay you back whenever he wants. Right? What was this all based on? This was all based on, well, if you want to, the entire time you could have gotten your own deal. Right? The fact that you waited, it's your fault, right? That you decided to wait. But that's only if you have a choice. Right? If you didn't have that choice, you wouldn't be allowed to. But if you made the deal, I'm not accepting your debt until winter time when the price of oil or price of bread goes way up, so then that would be a problem because then you would be setting up to get more back than you would give.
It'd be an unusual kind of loan, though. I mean, normally most lenders do not complain if you pay them back early.
Well, this might be a storage issue. That was the impression when learning through these Gemaras. This is like a storage issue. Yes, right? I don't want to be holding this grain the entire time. I want you to have it, and I want to give it back to you. It's going to be worth a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
It sounds like a prepayment penalty would not be. Yes. Would not be something we'd want to have if we wanted to avoid rivers. So if you pay back earlier, you wouldn't.
We want to encourage people to pay back earlier.
Exactly. So yeah, prepayment would not do that.
So now Sif Dalet, and it makes you Sif Dalet is a not so relevant, but it makes you I appreciate the. It has to do with sharecroppers. Now, the amount of discussion in Perek Ezu Neshech that have to do with deals that were set up between owners of fields and sharecroppers there's a lot, which makes you wonder how often these arrangements were made back in the day. That people would have fields and they would rent them out, and then they would take a portion of that which was brought in, right?
So that was
paid for as their rent. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's the question in the SIF is where do you draw the line between a loan and a business arrangement, right? You're allowed to do business on a profit, right? You're allowed to rent land out in order to make a profit off of it.
But they're not renting the land as a sharecropper. Sharecroppers are...
Yeah. Well, they
are they or are they renters?
They're getting use of the land in order to produce things for the owner of the field.
Okay.
So are they borrowing the land? Are they borrowing the seed, which is what we're discussing?
Okay.
Or are they renting it? Or are they owning it? What is their status exactly?
I see.
So what is the SIF? So the SIF says, Milva Adam Esarisav, that a person can loan to their Aris Sabisa. It would be permissible to lend to their Aris Sabisa. Right. Ramah actually tells you what the case is, right? An aris hanota ozoreya, that you have a sharecropper who plants or seeds his friend's field, and then he gets half or a third of the payrolls that come from that field.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're talking about. Okay. So you could make a deal to him with him sevasa. Why? Lizera. Bein kodem shiyarad ha'aris lasada. Bein achar shiyarad. Whether before he goes down in order to start planting, or after, Okay? So there seems to be some kind of heter here of saw basa when dealing between a landowner and his sharecropper. Okay?
The concept probably is that he gets some corn, and then he pays him back from the crop.
Right. So there is a question here, but makom, there seem to be different minhagim in different places about who provides the seeds. Right?
It says saw basa.
Yeah.
So it's not, but one is a seed and one is a final product.
When it comes to corn, it's the same thing.
Right.
The amount of seed that would have produced the saw?
No. The kernels are the seed.
That was my impression, right? That you give, the same thing.
But it's going to produce a lot more seed.
Yeah, you only have to pay back what you borrowed.
But he also is paying back a percentage of the field. So he owes
a percentage of the crop.
The corn is American, though.
I'm using corn. You want to make it rice or wheat?
Rice is Asian. But yes, that's what's going on here. So when they have a loan of seed, is that part of the business arrangement, or is that a separate loan? That's the question that the Shulchan Aruch is trying to analyze. So, bein achashiyar b'medvar mamurim. So, what are we talking about here? That the saw is permissible, right? But makum shenagu sheyitein ha'aris hazera, in a place where the aris is the one who provides the seeds.
Aris,
right?
Aris
is the sharecropper. Why? Because then, if he is borrowing seed from the owner, what is he really doing? Right? He's really enhancing the rental agreement. Right, he's really saying, I'm going to pay you back my 40% of the produce plus the value of the seed that you gave me. But that's just part of the lease. Right, we're not necessarily borrowing anything at this point. But in a place where the balakarka, the owner, the landowner, is the one who gives the seed, im kvar yarad ha'aris l'sada baser. If the aris had already gone down into the field and started working, that's usur. Why is it then usur? So it has to do with the perception and when his work actually begins. It sounds like if he provides his own seeds, his work begins when the seeding starts, I believe. I think that was the way he worked that. As opposed to if the balakarka provides the seeds, so then the work begins when he starts working. Right? So if the aris already goes down, so then at the time that he starts working, if in a place where the owner provides the seeds, as soon as the aris starts working there, the deal is done. The deal is already set.
The owner is supposed to provide him seeds.
Right. But maybe he didn't. So whatever, that's the deal. But the deal, it has to do with makom, it has to do with the minhag makom and what the perception is from people that are watching, assuming there are people that are watching. Right? In a place where the owner provides the seeds, so then as soon as the guy starts working, that's the beginning of the kinyan. That's the beginning of his work there. Whatever arrangements have been made has already been set. And now if he's borrowing seeds from the owner, he's borrowing, that's a saw basa issue, right? Because the deal is already set in terms of the lease of the field. However, in a place where the aris provides the seeds, so apparently his kinyan doesn't happen until, I guess, the seeds go down or something. I guess until the seeds go down. So that's when the kinyan starts. So if at that point the owner gives him seeds, that just becomes part of the rental agreement rather than a distinct loan that's going back and forth. That's the sif here. Couldn't find anything practical. Lemaisa, any modern day shilas that came from that though.
So which is then going to give rise to a riba situation? Either
the last case in the second case here, where the owner provides, in a place where the owner provides the seeds, and he hadn't provided the seeds. So as soon as he starts working there, the kinyan is already done. That means that their lease agreement is already set. So now the planter is there, the aris is there, scratching his head, saying, "Gavalt, I don't have any seeds." Right? So he has to go to the owner to borrow seeds. Whatever seeds he borrows from the owner are independent of the lease agreement. Then he's just simply a show-up. He's just simply a borrower at that point. Right? So if he's borrowing, then not a shol. Sorry, he's a lova. If he's a shol, it'll be okay. A shol is when you give back the same thing, a lova is when you give back a different thing. Right. So here he's a lova. So now what's he doing? Then he's borrowing seeds, and he says, "I'm going to pay you back seeds." So guess what? That's a violation of sa basa.
Okay. Now, is it a violation only if the price goes up, or is it a violation to even make such an agreement a priori?
It seems like the violation was even to make an agreement. The words of Shulchan Aruch are Aser Luvo Sa Basa. Afil Kassel Azman Peron Machain. Right. There is a more Lamdisha issue of when is the Iser? I saw that discussed. When exactly have you violated the prohibition? When you made the loan, or when you attempt to pay back the loan? But it seems like making the loan in the first place is because making the loan is only an issur derabanan. Paying back the loan in a bad way is an issur d'oraisa. Right, so when do we pinpoint the issur? Okay, but
And how does it work out? So if you do the the arborist provides his own seeds, so what's the argument there that it's okay?
Then it would be okay because then if he doesn't have seeds and he hasn't started planting, by definition he hasn't planted any seeds because he doesn't have seeds.
But
so then
he makes
a deal with the owner. That's just thrown in with the lease agreement.
Okay.
All right. All right. So now Sifhei is also an interesting. So Sifhei now rounds it up. Right? So we had this whole simon was five sifim. Aleph is introducing it. Hetter number one. Beis is hetter number two. Gimel is hetter number three. Dalet is hetter number four. Sort of in the case of an aris could potentially be a hetter. Mm-hmm. And now let's say the loan was made, but you never. We got two from a yidden, but you never they never articulated why it's okay. They made a sabasa alone, and there are heterim potentially, as we just learned in the sif, but they never enunciated any of them. Okay, so now what then happens? So remember in sif aleph we learned consequences. What if you make this deal? So you make a sabasa deal. So what happens then? So the malve only stands to lose. Right, if the price of the commodity goes up, so then the lova can pay back the money amount. And if the price of the commodity goes down, he has the right to pay back the commodity. Right? So the case here now is, and it only gives you half of it because the source is a tshuva. The source is a tshuva rush. That's what he's going off of. So you only get half of the... But halova lo sasayim chitim. If a lova, if somebody lends someone else sasayim chitim, but asalo shtarli, they made a shtar. Right? I'm hereby lending you a sasayim chitim, and you owe it back to me. Right? That's it. You owe me a sasayim chitim in return. That's all it says in the shtar.
Yeah.
Period. No, and we're buddies, and therefore even goes up and down Ramochel. And no, you already had a sasayim, therefore you already had some, and it's okay. And no, and based on the price as established by the market as set forth in that morning's Wall Street Journal, right? And none of those are said. It says, you owe me a sasayim uchitim. So im lo yivar hamal v'shiyotza hashar b'shas halva o shahaya lilva ma'at mi'osu amin. So if he never articulated, the malva never specifically says that we're going based on the set price at the shas halva, or that the lova has some of it at the time. So yishba halova, so the lova would take a shvua shlo yotza hashar v'shalaya lo klum mi'osu amin. So then the lova would make a shvua that neither of those scenarios existed. Right? He says, I didn't have any, and there was no set price. There was no price that was set. Velo yifren, if he does that, velo yifren, he doesn't have to pay eladamim shahayu shavim b'shasalva. Right? He wouldn't have to pay except for money, which is the equivalent to what it was at the shasalva. right? What exactly is the Choshen Mishpat here going on? Choshen Mishpat issue here, right? So he lends him the money. He lends him a sasayim of chit, and he lends him, you know, a bushel of grain. Mm-hmm. Greens are in bushels, or is that
yeah.
like
yeah?
Okay, so he lends him a bushel of grain, and he says, "You're going to give me back a bushel of grain." Now, in theory, that's okay if you use one of these other heterim. Right, that in theory, that would be okay. The problem is that he didn't. So now comes back 5 months later, and the value of a bushel of grain is doubled. Mm-hmm. So he says, "I want a bushel of grain back." To which the Lova says, "I'm not paying you a bushel of grain back because we call that ribbis." Right? I went to the ribbis here in between, and it turns out that that's aser. Right? To which the Malva says, "Well, hold on a second. But I went to the next ribbis here where we learned all the hetairim, and there were hetairim. I knew that you had some, and there was a set price. So if the Lova denies that." So then that would be okay. Lova has to take a shvua to say. Now I looked around a little bit. I couldn't find any. Like, we don't do shvuas today. Sitting bati din don't do shvuas. But this is a scenario that seems like it could come up, right? But anyways, so you also have some interesting counterintuitive things here. Normally, he who has the shtar is the winner, right? The shtar is the. Is the one who's always on top. Mm-hmm. But here, the first who speaks first in terms of the Din Torah, right? The one who speaks first, the one who has to make the first claim, is actually the owner of the shtar. Right? Usually, the shtar shows up with his shtar, and they turn to the defendant and say, "And what say you?" Right? But here, he's showing up with his shtar, and the returning to him and saying, "How do you explain this shtar?" That shtar seems to be a violation of ribbis. Right? The burden of proof starts on him. Right? So why is that? Why is that? Because very simply, these issues are not actually in the shtar. Right? These are all external issues to the shtar. Right? In which case, that's why he's put in that situation. Now the.
There's also that situation because the shtar, on the face of it, violates the law. If you show up with a shtar that says, "I borrowed a bushel of wheat from you," and I got to pay back a bushel, and we know
He has to defend himself.
The Mishnah says you can't do that.
Right, he has to defend himself. So he's adding things to the shtar, so therefore he has the first burden of proof. Now, why there is a shvua on the lova, I'm not sure, and truth is not a gemara. This is the shuva. It's the shuva of Rush. Not that I'm minimizing it, but it's hard to. You don't have the same workup done on a shuva of Rush as you would on a gemara. So I'm not sure where that shvua is coming from. I couldn't decipher that. Why we're making the law make a shvua?
Because
ultimately he's the one that's going to lose out. What? It's
possibly a motive.
You think it's like a motive of mixus?
Possibly. He's admitting that there was a transaction.
He's admitting there's a transaction, meaning that he owes some. He admits that he owes the money, which is half of the value of the commodity.
There's no witness.
So you're saying
the only way to verify it is.
So it's a motive of mixus. Okay, interesting. Interesting. He didn't. I don't think he said.
So what is he swearing?
Yeah.
Saying there were no.
He's
conditions?
Swearing that I didn't have anything.
Oh, okay.
And that there was no set price in the market on this.
Otherwise, the star shouldn't have done this. Oh.
And there are not friends that do this all the time. But,
So therefore he pays back.
If he could take the shvua, so then he would pay back only up to the value of the commodity at the time of the loan. But if he can't take the shvua, or if those facts aren't ascertained, remember what we said. We said that b'di'evit, even if they didn't know that there was a shar, it works, right? That was what that shach said. I think he actually quoted the Rush. I believe near. I think it was the Shuvah Sarash, based on Shuvah Sarash, which is it the same Shuvah Sarash? Shuvah Sarash. The Simon, so Shuvah Sof Simon Zet, based on that Shuvah Sarash, that was right. So therefore, he doesn't have to make that claim. Sorry, what am I saying? Therefore, they just have to ascertain the existence of the facts, not what they knew at the time. Okay, fine. Velo Yifra El Adamim Shayusham B'Shas Alva. But if he does that, then he would only have to pay back that which the money was worth at the time of the halva. Fine. I'm not sure, Bizman Azeh, if you have a mode of mixus case and based on what you do.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'm looking into that. I didn't come to an answer. Ve'in, and then the Rama adds in something here. Ve'in hamal ve'yachol lomar hiknesi li ma'ak mishali ayde'ached de'lo mahani b'lo das alove. Right? The Malva can't, the Rama adds in, that the Malva can't claim that, oh, he says he doesn't have any. No, but I lent him. I put it in his possession. So and he just didn't know it. Now there is such a concept that's called zachan shaladim shelo b'fanav. The problem is the defendant, the receiver of such a gift, always has the right of refusal. He always has the right to say, I don't want to do that, which is the whole big issue with the international based in get issue. That was but. That's a topic. Yes. Okay, so then that's issue number one in Sifhei. Then there's issue number two in Sifhei, which does come up a little more lemaisa. It says, "V'mischayev luchitim v'halva ha'isam v'makom echad." So let's say he owes him wheat, and the loan took place in one place. About tefiyah v'makom acher, and tefiyah was in some place else. Now this is based on that they did the heter. Now, let's say the guy did own something. He owned some wheat back in his own house. Problem is, his own house is in America, and right now they're in Israel. So so they could make such a deal, but he doesn't, and that's what they did. So it's a sa beheter. So now they come back to America, and he says, okay, now I want you to pay back that bushel which I gave you. Now the problem is, a bushel in America is worth a lot less than it is in Israel, right? Everything is
important.
So it's kind of looking at, in fact, the case that in Rabbi Reisman's Sefer, he has the following. He says, let's say friends go on a tour of Europe together, and one of them runs out of film. Now, for those listening at home, there used to be this thing called film that used to go with the cameras. And
once upon a time.
And and film in America you could get pretty cheap, but if you were a tourist someplace, so almost out of a pocket of film could be very expensive. So now one person asks the other one, can I borrow some film from you? So he's got two issues. Number one is that he's in Europe. Number two is that he's in a tourist trap in Europe. So it's worth a lot more than what it is in America. So what is the value of the commodity that was exchanged then? Is it the European value? So why is he borrowing from his friend? He's borrowing from his friend because he doesn't want to pay at the tourist trap stand. Mm-hmm. But yet, the value of film at that particular moment is 5 times the value of what it is in a drugstore in America, where he would potentially buy it back. So what is he passing? He passes based on the place, right? Right, the request for to be paid back someplace else. Now this is the opposite case. His case is that the value of wheat is more where he's demanding it back. Lo yishalim lo ella halva. He only has to pay back that which it was valued at the place of the loan. So he, if it was worth $50 here, it's worth $100 back when he's requesting it back, he would only have to give him back $50 because, again, it has to do with locations. And so location is going to be worth different values in different places. Mm-hmm. But the same thing would work in the opposite way as well. If it was worth less now than it was when the loan actually took place, same thing. Right? You would pay the value it was when it took place. So technically, the two people that went on their trip to Europe, so now when they're back in America, and he says, okay, I want the film back that I lent you in Europe, so he gives him back a roll of film. He says, no, you owe me 10 rolls of film because that's the value of the film that I gave you when I gave it to you there. Now, of course, notwithstanding that, maybe they might be friends. I mean, they might qualify for Heter number one, though.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Comes the Rama, one more note here. It says, Lo itir livos kishiyishlo ela sa chitim besa chitim. About besa chitim besa dochein aser. He says, to do a sa besa trick when they're different commodities, in terms of the friend's thing, that's aser. So one person says, lend me six eggs, and the other one says, okay, and I'll pay you back with a carton of milk. Right, so those are, A, they're often values, and B, they're separate commodities. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be problematic. Even though they might be the same value, even though they are the same prices, right? And he has dochen, still, any type of saw-basaw deal, in terms of the heterim for it, need to actually be saw-basaw, and can't be different commodities. They can't be different commodities from one another. Okay.
And you wouldn't have a heter if he was your next door neighbor and you were just...
I think that's defeating those heterim. Those heterim that you want to use, it has to be when you're borrowing and returning the same commodity.
Same thing.
That's what I'm going to say. If it's different commodities, then it's not going to be okay. Okay, we're getting deep into these other things here.